The British Broadcasting Corporation presents London Forum, a weekly program in which we bring prominent personalities to the microphone to discuss important topics of the day. In this series last week, two Labour members of Parliament were questioned by a Conservative member on their party's policy. This week, Conservative Party policy comes under review, and the questioner is Michael Foot, Labour Member of Parliament for Devonport.
This is Michael Foot introducing this week's London Forum. The subject we are going to discuss is Conservative Party policy. It may be that we will have an election fairly soon in this country. Nobody knows exactly when it will be coming, but during the last week or two, the political parties have been holding their annual conferences. And the Conservative Party conference was held at Blackpool, and we have here in the studio two members of the House of Commons, Conservative members of the House of Commons, who were present at that Blackpool conference. We have Mr. David Eccles, the member for Chippenham, and Mr. Martin Lindsay, the member for Solihull, one of the constituencies in Birmingham. Now, perhaps we might start with the question of whether the representatives who went to the conference, who are here tonight, whether they thought it was a good conference. Perhaps I might ask David Eccles whether he thought it was a successful conference.
Well, I've been to a good many conferences, and it's the second time I went to Blackpool. Blackpool's a splendid place for a conference. It returns two Tory members, and there isn't a single socialist on the city council. So we get what you might call a splendid welcome. Well, if the test of a conference is that the rank and file go back feeling they've got good leaders to work for, and those on the front bench go back sighing relief that there's no one kicking over the traces in the body of the hall, then I can say we all enjoyed ourselves and we had a very good conference.
Martin Lindsay, what do you think? Do you agree about that?
Yes, I do. I was impressed by the great enthusiasm of the representatives, by the fact that they were a good cross-section of the nation and with the of course, a large proportion of young people, and I agree with David Eccles that I think it showed that our leaders are extremely well fitted to give leadership in this great hour, and I also think that it showed us that we've still got that burning faith which we hoped the other political parties had lost.
Well, it seems they had some fun at Blackpool, even if they didn't discuss politics very seriously. That remains to be seen. But perhaps I could ask next what part either of the members think the conference plays in shaping Conservative Party policy. I understand that under their constitution, the policy is made by the leader and not by the conference. So perhaps I could ask what effect they think this will have on party policy.
Well, the conference is growing in importance in the Conservative Party. Of course, we stick to our principle that we elect a leader of our party, Mr. Churchill, now, and that he has the final word. He does. He sums up at a party conference. I think, unlike the Mr. Attlee at a Labour Party conference, who speaks early in the conference, Mr. Churchill's is the last speech. And in that speech, he takes up the points and the resolutions, and he says, these are the things which we will stand for before the people. That's what we do at our conference. We advise our leader, and he comes down and says he agrees or disagrees with what we've done.
Well, I think David Eccles has explained quite clearly that what the conference does doesn't make much difference, but the leader makes the decision. I don't know whether there's any disagreement about that, but perhaps we might turn to discuss some of the actual subjects that were raised at the conference. One of the things that struck me was that there was no discussion on the general trading situation of this country and on the balance of payments situation, which of course has been one of the biggest subjects discussed throughout the country in the past 5 years. Perhaps I could ask Martin Lindsay what he thinks about that.
Well, of course, it's always easy enough to pick out important subjects which are not discussed, because naturally, we all know that one could should have a week to ventilate and thoroughly discuss all the problems that are important. And what happens is that constituencies and individual members of the party send in resolutions about the matters which are most troubling them. In other words, where they feel that the government has failed most, those are the subjects which the resolutions cover And you therefore, it was noticeable that the three subjects which occupied the first place in the number of resolutions were defense and the cost of living and housing, and other very important matters were, of course, squeezed out.
Well, it's very interesting to say that you only discuss the subjects on which you think the government has failed most, and it's interesting to know that the Conservative Party conference doesn't discuss the balance of payment situation this year, because obviously they think the government succeeded on that, and I should have thought that was a very big success. But perhaps you might turn to one or two of the subjects that you've mentioned.
Well, I want to say one word on the balance of payments. I'd like to say we are all of us pleased to see the way sterling is getting stronger.
Yeah, yeah.
But we do feel that this may not be a permanent state of affairs, and that we've got to watch out and take care that our prices don't run away. But on that part, whether or not our prices are getting out of step, we did have a discussion, and no doubt we'll return to it here.
Well, I think we're all pleased on this subject. We're all pleased, in particularly in view of the prophecies that were made by the opposition 12 months ago that we were facing financial bankruptcy. But to take one of the subjects that was mentioned by Martin Lindsay on foreign affairs, what do you think about the debate on that? Was there any fresh line or proposal made by the Conservative Party at Blackpool on that subject?
Well, I think there was. Mr. Eden answered for the front bench, and he made it very clear that we Conservatives are ready to cooperate with any other government without bothering whether they are socialist or liberal or conservative. That our policy will be to cooperate with all those who are members of the Democratic Club. He also said that we were in the closest relations with the United States, and he took Mr. Naren Bevan to task for having said that capitalism had failed, and yet being a member of a government which took aid from a corpse and then went on asking for more. And that was a proposition that pleased the government, pleased the conference very much.
Well, I don't know whether you would describe it as a capitalist system under which a government in the United States has to organize the lending of money to other countries, but still, that's a different point. But you don't think there was any new line on any of the big issues, for instance, like Formosa or the recognition of the Chinese government? I didn't notice that any of these subjects were discussed.
No, though, again, as I say, it's very easy to pick on subjects which were not discussed. The whole weight of the foreign affairs section, the main weight of it was placed on this subject of defence, which, of course, the whole of the Conservative Party in the country is extremely worried about and has no confidence at all that we have yet gone far enough, although we've made a great advance in that direction in the last month or two.
What do you think what does the conference decide ought to be done about defence which the government is not doing?
Well, in the first place, Mr. Eden gave a pledge that we, if we are returned to power, will not be content with the extra division. It's only one division, I believe, which the government says they will station in Germany. We think that Britain has got to do better than that. Secondly, there was the question of equipment. We believe that our government is perfectly right to press on with recruiting for long service engagements in our armed forces, but we doubt whether there's going to be equipment to match the trained men as they increase in number. And therefore we said that we should like to have a much more energetic policy to put the weapons in the hands of the trained men.
But isn't it a fact that here in this country, in the past 5 years, we in Britain have already been spending more of our national income on defence than almost any of the other countries engaged with us in the Atlantic Pact? And how do you propose to pay for all this extra additional defence over and above the extra additional defence which the government is proposing?
Well, of course, it will have to be paid for by sacrifice. It will have to be paid for by people doing without things that they would like to be buying this year and next year. It will have to be paid for by harder work. We may have to reconsider our attitude to our present trades union hours of work. We may have to work longer weeks. We may have to come back to shift work. And, of course, it will have to come mainly
out of harder work and higher production.
Was there a speech made at the conference explaining the sacrifices which would be entailed in this policy and defining the way in which those sacrifices would be borne and shared by the people throughout the country?
Yes, there were. There were several speakers who referred to that point. But I should like to take Michael Foot up on the question of the money that we have been spending on defence. The Conservatives don't think that the very large sum which the Labour Party has spent on defence has been well laid out. We believe that with better management, we could get better results, by which I mean more troops ready to go into action and fewer people pushing pens and in what we generally call the tail end of the army. And that was stressed by speaker after speaker.
Well, of course, it's very easy to say that you want a great, much bigger defence programme, but it's not going to cost any more, and nobody can prove it. And as far as I can recall, in the House of Commons, there have never been any detailed exposure of waste in these matters, but
Well, that, of course, is a matter of opinion.
Well, there's never been any detailed case that I can recall that have been put forward there, and I should have thought it would have been more honest, politically honest, if the Conservative Party had stressed that, in fact, there would have to be a reduction in the standard of life if they were going to carry through their hugely greater defence programme than the government is, in fact, putting through.
But I don't think there's any dispute about that. I think all political parties agree that there will have to be a reduction in the present standard of comfort to put through this rearmament programme. I don't think anybody's ever suggested anything to the contrary.
Well, it wasn't it also a fact that was, just to take up that point of Martin Lindsay's, wasn't it also a fact that the same conference, in effect, promised to the British people that there could be a considerable reduction in the cost of living, which it would mean an increase in their standard of life, and that this could go forward at the same time as the rearmament programme? I don't know what David Eccles thinks about that.
Well, no, we didn't say there could be a considerable reduction in the cost of living. What we said was, and the time will come to give you all the arguments, we said that the present rise could be checked. And, of course, in time, one hopes we can turn back to stable prices. But there are two ways of paying for rearmament. There's the way of economy, giving up something that we're doing now. And it's our belief that the Labour government have started a great many more things than they can finish, and that we've now reached a position where we must have a stricter list of priorities.
Do you mean to say you're going to cut the rest of the capital investment programme, the building of power stations and factories and houses and other things like that? Is that where you would make the cut?
No, I should make the cut in the administrative expenditure of the government. And it may be that we've got to choose, for instance, between some of the food subsidies and paying something for national health. And doing the things we want.
Well, this is getting nearer to it. I mean, you're proposing that that you should cut the food subsidies and the National Health Service. Those two proposals.
I'm saying that it is a choice that is not put squarely to the British people.
Was it put squarely to the Tory conference that two of the cuts that they would propose were one, food subsidies,
no.
And second, the health service?
No, because at our conferences we do not produce policy. To use the words of Mr. Attlee, the policy of the party will be produced in the right time and at the right place.
Uh-huh.
And I might also add that I trust it will produce the right result.
I should have thought a conference was the right time and the right place. But still,
oh, no,
maybe I've got
no,
a wrong idea about Tory conferences.
No. The object of a conference is to emphasize priorities to the leaders. How could a conference of 4,000 people get out of...
Right.
5,000 people, David says, get out a programme.
But surely this is the key to the whole thing. You've agreed that that sacrifices have got to be made if the programme the general programme that you're advising is to be put through. And here are two suggestions that have been made by David Eccles for cuts.